You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Bobby obviously became a huge part of us, and the guy that got the final out in game four, you know. He was huge, you know, and I saw people are bitching about ESPN, and they said he was just on the roster. I don't put any credence in any of that crap. You know, Bobby, in the hearts and of all White Sox people and White Sox fans, was one of the main heroes of the 2005 season. And that's not even talking about 6, 7, and 8, where he was very, very good for the White Sox. And then, you know, we traded him.
Don Cooper on with Mully and Haw talking about Bobby Jenks. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show. I'm Lawrence. He speaks. We are here with you until 6 o'clock. And I completely understand any White Sox fan that took real offense to the tweet that ESPN put out about Bobby Jenks that felt cold and detached and really didn't talk about the scope of him being not just on the roster, which was the quote from them, on the roster for the 2005 World Series champion White Sox, but the fact that he was almost, what, 200 saves in the league.
Oh, man.
And it just struck me as, if you're a White Sox fan and you're feeling like, yeah, this is another one of those instances where the 2005 White Sox are disrespected, I think that you are correct to feel that way.
I think in this instance, and all the besmirching of the 2005 White Sox that has gone on, the omissions, the forgetting, you are 100% entitled to what is often a prodigious chip on the shoulder for White Sox fans. And I wouldn't say it's always quite as obviously justified as this situation is. And we don't need to get to other stuff just yet necessarily, but I'm just a big old yes before we do the end. That team was awesome. And Jenks was a massive part of the fun story of it and hugely successful. And that tweet was freaking gross, man. For anybody who didn't say it, see it, ESPN's tweet on the 5th of July, just before 6 o'clock. Bobby Jenks, a two-time All-Star pitcher for the Chicago White Sox, who was on the roster when the franchise won the 2005 World Series, died on Friday in Sintra, Portugal, the team announced. And the reaction was brutal and worthwhile.
As it should be. And people, I was frustrated by it. I get how stuff like this happens. I get that you might have a social media manager that doesn't remember that. Like that person may have grown up in a different city, wasn't necessarily a sentient sports fan at the time when the White Sox won. And now they're the person that's in charge of kind of doing a minor obit for ESPN.
Do your research then.
I agree. Like that's the all you would have to do is be like, oh, okay, well, let me look this guy up.
Uh-huh. Doesn't take long. You'd see pictures.
It truly doesn't.
Doug Minkiewicz, the former MLB-er, tweeted, ESPN should be ashamed and embarrassed for writing something like this. Was on the roster? He was the closer on a championship team, etc. Brandon McCarthy, the former pitcher, tweeted, this company has fallen so far. So far. That one hurts. AJ Pruszynski, he did a whole lot more than just be on the roster. He closed out the World Series, among many, many others. Awful Announcing wrote it up, and good for them, because that's ridiculous. And they corrected it because they knew.
They went back the next day, and they corrected it, which I appreciate. That there was, hey, we made a mistake. There needed to be a little bit more of a retraction, in my opinion, but I get it. Like, you made a mistake, and then the second time that you have a bite at the apple, you talk about how important he was to the 2005 team and then beyond that 2005 team.
Yeah, so the reframing was this, and it was just a tweet. The next, about 25 hours later, Bobby Jenks began the 2005 World Series with a save and ended it with one, helping propel the White Sox to their first title in 88 years. The team paid tribute with a moving video remembrance of Jenks, who died Friday at 44, and they shared the team video. So that's 25 hours later.
I'm glad that they at least shared the team video, but the thing is that we've seen them as a network be guilty of this multiple times.
I wonder if Tanny has any audio references to such things when they did that. I don't know.
No, it's tough because when you omit someone, it's tough to
right.
You know. A lot of it is usually graphics.
Right, graphics.
You'll always see a graphic.
They
yeah.
totally blow them off.
When
right?
you start talking about Chicago championships, and then that one isn't added to the list, and you go, what?
Yeah.
Like, do you know how big a deal that was? That was an 88-year drought
mm-hmm.
of a team not winning a championship.
Yeah, when the Cubs had also not won one for, at that point, because it's what, 108 minus 21? So, was it 87 for the Cubs at that point?
I
have that right?
It was longer than that for the Cubs.
Because it was 1908.
Yeah.
No, it was 108 years. 1908.
Oh, 108, yeah.
Yeah. So it was 108 minus 21. So it was 88 for the White Sox and 87 for the Cubs at the time. So, I mean, that's how big a deal it was for the entire city.
Right. For a championship to be won. And I don't want to make this about, like, comparing the White Sox to the Cubs, but it...
How about comparing the White Sox? Just think... Yeah, no, you don't have to do that.
But the idea of major championships in Chicago, and then you have them and you're like, oh yeah, okay, there's the fire and there's the sky and there's the Bulls championships, and obviously like the Blackhawks and the Cubs winning in 26, and the White Sox are not even on the list. And it's like, what? Like yeah. that for an owner to be as omnipresent in baseball as Jerry Reinsdorf has been, and for ESPN to have multiple MLB contracts,
mm-hmm.
and I get it. It's oversight. It's probably one or two people that just...
And it might be the B team on a holiday.
They just missed it, right? Yeah. Like
do your research, man. It's like, you know, you got a job. You got a job to do.
Yep.
And people are... And you are the face of the organization. I hope whoever was on staff and did that got a talking to by the bosses, because it's a teachable moment. It's a learning moment. Yeah, caller yesterday, Marty from Highland Park, longtime baseball guy, said that it reminded me of this truism, that the 2005 White Sox are one of two teams ever to have the first place position in their division from day one until 162 games were finished, and to sweep the World Series. That's the dominance that they were in the big sample and the small sample. The big sample of a season and the small sample of the postseason. Absolutely dominant. That should be respected, man. Plus what they did with the complete games and all the pitching. And you were talking about earlier the three different closers over the course of a year. I mean, that's a lot that they accomplished that was special and noteworthy.
The dominant part to me is as frustrating as anything, because the way that they ran through the postseason, like, even if you wanted to stop it, how incredible it was that they won the Boston series, but them running through in a dominant fashion like that, what they did with their starters is something that baseball broadcasts continue to romanticize about the game not having, and here we have like an actual lesson of a team that did it the old-fashioned way, and they are often just swept aside in the discussion of this. And it was hurtful, you know, like it really hurt to see Bobby Jenks' career reduced down to that. And it's not like this was an issue of character space. If you look at the first tweet,
oh no,
they weren't running up against their limit of words that they could have used to describe them. So it's not even like an editing from that standpoint case. It's a matter of not knowing and not really caring to eulogize the guy correctly, to talk about his career.
Yes.
And again, it's one trip to the baseball reference page.
Yeah, man.
One.
Or
you could have followed the team's lead.
Oh, sure.
In what it is that they put out.
Racing. Just do a little research.
Two-time All-Star, man.
Two-time All-Star with 173 career saves, who was on the roster, is a tweet for like, I don't want to reference other people on that roster. As if they had died, that's what they would get. I'm not going to do that. Okay? Alex, don't do that. I see you reaching for a microphone. Be more respectful.
One of the best closers in the league for almost 3 years.
Yes! Yes! A dominant closer. And with all the things we've talked about, it's brutal. Please, by the way, my math was off.
Yeah, it felt off.
It did, right?
Yeah,
and we were doing
I'm not
it.
Good at math, so.
Yeah, no, we work in talking. So, yeah, 2016 to 2005 is 11 years.
Not 21
Yeah,
years.
Let's face it. None of us are here because we were acing math tests in school, you know?
That's not why I'm here. That's not why I'm here.
I've been thinking about taking some math classes, though.
Really?
It's supposed to be good for your brain.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
I've been thinking about doing that.
Don't you do math, though, in your life? Like, I have this talk with the Roobster time to time.
It's
like,
different.
You're going to need this stuff now.
The math that I do in my life, I've got that down.
I do a lot of basic algebra in my actual life.
But I would like to do more, and it was one of those things I ran away from in high school and college, and I probably shouldn't have. I've always been interested in, like, science, so I should probably do that. And I have credits. Like as a prof, I can take classes.
Oh, you could take a class. Oh man, that's exciting.
Yeah, I can audit classes, so I could go take one. But I'm thinking about it. Maybe they'll just start with like Khan Academy and just start there.
What's Khan Academy?
So like anything that you pretty much want to learn, you can learn like in Khan Academy.
Learn
like
how to be a con?
Well,
so you can be an ex-con? No, what is
different
it?
Different type of con.
What is
spelling like wrath of?
Really?
Con!
He's gatekeeping on Khan Academy.
I'm not. I told you, like, whatever you wanted to learn.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in a good groove right now because I'm, like, reading a lot. So I'm like, okay.
You are.
Does that mean that now
what's that like?
You read a lot.
Sometimes.
But I
bookmark a lot to read later.
This was a whole thing in my house. Like, summer meant reading. Summer meant, here's your list. Well, let's get the books that you want.
So did you do some reading instead of going to Colorado?
I did, actually.
You did.
I started Benji Molina's book. Finished Bill Belichick's book and started Benji Molina's
book. That's probably a better use of your time.
It really is, and it's fascinating, and I can't wait till we have Benji Molina back on the show. Because now I think that he's got some parenting tips,
Alex,
for Speaks.
Really?
Yeah. The belt.
Well, that's why you liked it so much.
Well, I like it because it's a really like romantic.
No. You like it because it speaks to the belt. That's why. It validates your parenting advice that I refuse to take.
Oh, let me just say this too.
Yeah.
So check this out, right? So this was the table. Remember this, Tanny? This was the table setting at Rick Camp's awesome wedding with his lovely wife, Sam.
Oh, and a tassel.
And I was trying to figure out what to do with it. And I was like, well, maybe it could be like a luggage thing because it has my name on it. It's a really great bookmark. That's what I figured out it should be.
It was very nice, especially after Campy was wearing the tassels to just give them to us. It was so nice of him.
Well, after he got married, he moved it from one side of his cap to the other.
Well, that's not where he was wearing them. But Yeah. I now use this as a bookmark.
That's troubling.
But Benji Molina's book is really good. I've only made it about 50 pages in.
I'm not listening anymore.
I'm having a much better time reading this than I was reading Bill Belichick's book.
I'm just in my cups picturing Campy with the tassels.
You should put it on your summer reading list if you love baseball and like...
Book about Campy with the tassels?
No, that book is X-rated. But this book is totally fine.
Okay.
And you should check it out.
All right, good to know. Thank you. So Khan Academy, Campy with Tassels, and the Benji Molina.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Book. I feel good about that. Lawrence, you're talking about that 2005 team and just how dominant they were. You ever have somebody booked for a show and then you realize, oh my God, I'm extra special lucky that somebody was booked for the show? You ever have that? I had it yesterday with Chris Burke, who was booked to talk about the Cubs because he's a college World Series guy.
Of course, WCUB, you know, even on the weekends.
Hey, man.
Even during a Sox segment.
It ended up being about the Sox. That's what I'm saying.
WCUB ESPN over here.
Because Chris Burke faced Bobby Jenks. That's what I realized yesterday morning as I'm prepping. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Hey, Chris, you faced Bobby Jenks a couple times, right? And he's like, yep. So I got a chance to ask a member of the 2005 Astros about what it was like to face Bobby Jenks, which he did in game two, the memorable one at Sox Park with the Podsednik and Konerko moments, and game four when Jenks finished the whole thing. And Burke was at the plate. I didn't remember that Burke was at the plate for an incredible moment. Here we go.
Well, I tell people all the time, like, you know, not nearly as many as you would face in today's game, but I probably faced a dozen dudes that threw 100 miles an hour. And Bobby, to my knowledge, didn't throw a pitch that I faced against him that was harder than 100, even though, you know, I know things were a little different then with some of the specifics, but he would sit there and pitch at 100. It was, to me, his was the hardest, whatever that means. I don't think it actually means anything, but just as a hitter, it felt like you heard the seams coming at you. It got there in a way that felt the loudest, if that makes any sense. And to face him in 38 degree weather in game two of the World Series wasn't a blast. But I actually walked up in game two. If you remember, Bagwell singles with one out. Then I walked. We got to second and third on a wild pitch. And then, Jose Vizcaino singled me and Bagwell home, and we tied it off. And then Podsednik walked us off in the bottom half of that inning. But that was an incredible game, game two. And then, yeah, in game four, what I tell people this all the time, one of the great regrets of my career was I came up, like you said, it was a 1-0 game or a 2-0 game, whatever.
1-0. 1-0.
1-0. Yeah. And Jason Lane's on first base. And I got, so Bobby had walked me on four pitches in game two. So here I am, I think I was pinch hitting in game four, and count goes 2-0, so the guy's throwing me six straight balls, you know? And so I'm just like, this guy didn't throw me a strike. Maybe I got some force field going on here. I'm just going to take. And he threw it right down the middle. He threw it right down the middle, and I always think to myself, I wonder what would have happened if I'd have swung at that 2-0 fastball. I don't like remembering that pitch very well. And then on 2-1, I think he got me to pop up on a 2-1 slider, and Juan Uribe made that great play into the stands, which I'm still a little bit mad at the Houston fans for. They just, the seas parted, and they just let him go into the crowd and make that great catch. And then Orlando Palmeiro grounded out, and that was the ball game. But, man, what a great series. You know, history remembers that we got swept, but that was an incredible series. Every single game was really a classic.
Man, you are so right. And I was at that game, too. White Sox fans wouldn't leave that place, man. White Sox fans just stayed out there and sang and sang and sang because they were, I mean, it had been such a great year and such a good season for them. And then up 2-0, that they're thinking they might not be coming back. And they
did. That's right. And the Pope was there.
Yeah. Chris Burke. The Pope has seen you play. I mean,
come on. That's it.
The Pope was there. You were there. I had come from covering a Bears game.
Oh, that same day.
Yeah. Like, did the whip around, like, oh, okay, and then got there in time to cover that.
Tanny, were you there?
Everybody. You weren't down there. I was.
I was, and, you know.
Come on now.
The only, this like, this Bobby Jenks thing hit me pretty hard over the weekend because I went to game one with my dad. It was the only game of the World Series that we saw together. We had season tickets starting that year. So talk about luck there. But we were at one game for each round of the postseason. And the only picture I have of me and him from that game was right after the Bagwell strikeout, right after Ozzie comes out, makes the gesture. And that place, I haven't heard it that way since. But that place was just electric, especially after that moment. And it was something that I'll never forget. And I was thinking about that a lot this weekend.
I love that. It was like crazy being there. Like all of it. Like all of the things that happened inside of that game. Everything that happened that day is just really wild. And I'm glad that Uribe got brought up. Because we know for a fact that Derek Jeter made the same play. And people only talk about that play.
Yeah, nobody talks about that Uribe play.
And that Uribe play was amazing.
Well, actually, it wasn't the same play. You know, Jeter didn't have to. His momentum carried him into the stands.
That's right. He caught it in the in the field of play.
But Uribe actually had to reach over into the stands and grab it. So, like, really, you know, not even quite the same in that regard.
Well,
you know?
But I'm saying that most people, they wouldn't even know if you said the Juan Uribe play.
Juan Uribe.
Right. They wouldn't know what you're talking about. With Jeter, there's a couple of them. Look at Jeter, and his face is bleeding. He's the captain.
That's when I broke down after that second out in 05. When he came out of the stands with that ball, I was like, oh, it's over with. It's happening. You know, let me turn off Joe Buck, put on, you know, Rooney and Farmio, and it was over from there, you know.
Beautiful thing.
That's awesome.
I did post game for 8 hours.
John Cangelosi.
With John Cangelosi. I did 8 hours. The game ended a little bit after 10. I was on until Pappy showed up here at 6.
Oh, is that beautiful?
Yep. And everyone came on. Like, it was amazing. Like, all the people that just jumped on the phone, partially because of John. People wanted to be on with John.
That's so cool.
It was amazing. And then Mitch was like, go home, take a shower, and then go to the airport. And so I got to go cover them when they came back because they flew back into Midway. So I got to go cover that. And then I got to cover the parade.
Oh, hell yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Look at this.
That's an amazing moment in my career because being on the bus driving down 35th Street, it was so beautiful, Speaks. Like, there's this moment where the bus turns onto King Drive. And, you know, like, if you look at the history of the South Side of Chicago and like what connects to what, the Dan Ryan was put there explicitly
to block neighborhoods from crossing over.
Right? But here are the White Sox, and they like, no, we're going through our neighborhoods. So they go through Bronzeville, and I'll never forget this. Like, right there on the corner of 35th and in King Drive, there are a bunch of these little kids, and they're in like Catholic school uniforms. I don't remember which school it was, but they're literally, you know, they're probably between the ages of like 5 and 10, and they're literally just waving little white socks. Wow. How great is that?
That's amazing. That's what they could get. And they're like, this is it.
They didn't need team stuff. They had white socks, and they went out there and they waved them.
You know, when I was
the buses went by.
When I was in Wrigley after 2016, there were a bunch of kids with little actual baby bears that they were holding up. Little cubs.
Little cubs. Just,
all right, no, there weren't. Nope. I'm sorry.
WCUV, again.
Dude, that I haven't heard those stories from you.
Yeah, I share them every now and again. But well,
this is the time, a day like today. And then
it meant a lot to me because there were a lot of beautiful little black faces there. And that's also something that you don't necessarily associate with the White Sox. But it's something that, as an initiative by the White Sox, that they are really like, they have been an ambassador to black baseball for a long time. And seeing these beautiful little faces just out there, and these are kids. They don't really know. They just know that something cool is going on.
They didn't know about 88 years.
No, they didn't know anything about that. They just thought it was cool. And here were these baseball players on buses, like waving to them, and they had this big trophy and all this stuff. It was really beautiful. And to the route, I'll always say this about the White Sox: the route that they chose to get to the river was amazing. Amazing. Because you go through, you know, Bridgeport, you come across, you go into Bronzeville, and then they kind of did a tour where you end up and you're like, oh, look at this. We are in Pilsen. You know, like, they did that.
They own the South Side.
They really did. And I remember coming back from all the stuff. Like, I didn't take the bus back. Like, I took the bus down there with everyone to cover it. I took the train back, and that was a beautiful moment, too. Because I had driven to the ballpark and left my car over there to jump on the buses. And I'll never forget this either. When you got to 35th Street, the conductor said, 35th Street, home of the world champion Chicago. I'm getting choked up just thinking about it. It was so beautiful. Like, such a great day, like, encapsulated, like, people just cheering. And I don't even know how many of them were White Sox fans, but the idea that in that moment, people coming back from the parade, it was outstanding. It's beautiful. Really, really beautiful.
That's lovely.
And a listener, my most prized possessions, a listener was taking pictures right here on LaSalle and took a picture of the buses. And I was like, holy crap, that's me.
Ha!
So in my office, the listener sent it in. And I was like, this is awesome. And I said, hey, can you blow this up? Because that's me on the back end of that. And so they sent me a blown up copy, and now I have it in my office.
Oh, man, that's amazing.
Yeah.
See, there's that moment captured right there.
Baseball is a beautiful thing.
Look at that. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing all that. I never knew that stuff. That's beautiful, man. And that's why it was so freaking offensive to refer to Bobby Jenks as just a guy on the roster.
Terribly offensive.
And that's why. Because you got people whose emotions and sports lives and layers and generational feelings are wrapped up in something like that. So do better.
I appreciate the texture. Yes, you're exactly right. Hey, Kenny, it's John Cangelosi. You're exactly right. That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened on the air.
He said, hey, Kenny.
It's John Cangelosi. Hi, John. That was kind of like the bit. Yeah. It was great. And that 8 hours flew by. Like, the phone, you know how this place is. Like,
yeah.
Looking up and seeing the phone lines filled for 8 hours.
Oh, man, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Of people just wanting to celebrate and talk.
Texture says, that confirms that Lawrence is the baseball guy on the station. Sorry, Speaks. You're bumped. Bumped, I say!
I've got some baseball bona fides.
Oh, I know you do. I know you do, sir.
I've covered teams.
Yesterday on Hit and Run, by the way, which you could host anytime you'd like to. You're, I mean,
that's what they told me.
He has to now that he's the baseball guy.
Yeah. Congratulations. Congratulations.
Is there like a scepter or something?
Yeah, Bruce has it.
Ron Kittle makes you a bench and you sit in it all day.
Ron Kittle makes you a bench out of bats and balls and you just sit in it with the scepter that Bruce is not giving up. He refuses to give it up, and I respect it.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent.
That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.